take these pills. I'm sick of being okay against my will. I'm losing it.
Greetings and salutations, and apparently welcome to the suicidal edition of Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at ChairShot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we wanted to use our heads today because we weren't able to crank out a show on our normal time this week just because of situations and circumstances, but we wanted to make sure we got something for you all because that's how much we appreciate your viewership or your listenership, and we appreciate you all rocking with us. And if you want to continue to show us just how much you rock with us, well, then you'll take yourselves down to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official ChairShot t-shirts. We've got ChairShot 316. We've got Save Tag Team Wrestling. Of course, My Jesus Does the Job. The shirt endorsed by the man himself, Baron Corbin Sucks. We've got the Corona ChairShot logo, the old school designs, the new school designs. We've got something for everybody in the wrestling fan, for the wrestling fan in your life, even if it's you. So again, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. My name is Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt, and joining me this week is Mr. Moderator himself, PC Tunney.
Mr. Platt, it's a pleasure. We're sitting here, we're both anticipating as we record Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals as that finally moves out to Portland. And I just want to say, I'm trying to stay relaxed, and I'm just soaking in the au jus of a 2-0 lead for my Bucks.
Congratulations, by the way. I didn't think that, number one, I didn't think that you guys were going to beat the Celtics. I really thought that the Celtics were going to pull it together. In the end, they showed us they are who we thought they were. And I knew Toronto was a pretty good matchup for you guys because, hell, Kawhi Leonard is the only one that's not scared to shoot or that can get his own shot. So I understand you don't want to put the cart before the horse. You want to keep it calm. And I get it because it's only 2-0. You're about to go back to Toronto. Weird things happen in the playoffs. I get it. But you're looking pretty good.
Listen, we'll get a little bit more in depth for 5 or 10 minutes at the end of the podcast. How's that sound?
Sounds like a plan. Also, as you can see, inconspicuous by his absence is Mr. Andrew Belaz. He couldn't make it today. I believe he's getting, electrolysis to permanently remove the hair from his legs. I don't know. White guys, y'all are into weird things, man. But whatevs, man. So shout out to Mr. Belaz.
Sure, whatever. Listen.
We're recording.
Okay. No balls this week, but we'll finish by talking about ball. So,
not your best work, but okay, I could dig it. Now, pardon me for 1 second here. I'm going to take the ceremonial shot of Kettle One, and we'll get the proceedings this evening.
Rock on.
Woo!
Here you go.
Woo!
I always felt like taking a shot of vodka was like taking a shot of just gasoline. You're not a whiskey guy?
Not really, man. If that's all you got. See, because when I drink, man, I try to think about the next day. And I can drink vodka all night and get up and be functional the next day. I can't say it's the same when I drink whiskey.
Hey, man, you got to do you. So I respect that.
Oh, man, shout out to Kettle One. Now, I will, I like the occasional scotch. It's a little late in the season for that. I prefer to do it in wintertime when it's cold outside. But every now and again, you know, when I'm feeling good or I got a couple of extra dollars to rub together, I'll go get me a decent bottle of scotch and I can sip on that for, you know, a few weeks.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Man, shout out to Glenn Levitt.
Yeah, we've been down this road before. I knew that was your scotch of choice.
Yes. It did feel like, you know, we were doing that. But that's what happens when you drink a lot, man. Sometimes you repeat shit. What you want me to do?
No, I didn't mean it like that. I actually was going to ask you. I was going to ask you if you wanted to give me your best, you know, Will Ferrell, Ron Burgundy, scotch down into my belly.
I can't do a Ron Burgundy, man. I wish I could. I can't.
Scotch down into my belly. That's horrible.
What's that? What is that? Sean Connery as Ron Burgundy?
Welcome to the Rock.
Scotch going down in my belly.
Sally shells seashells down by the seashore.
You're balling now, dog. You're the man now, dog.
I'll take the penis mightier for 500, Alex.
Now, I was going somewhere previously, man, after I took my shot and I did my three woos. I wanted to lead that into a segue of wishing the GOAT himself, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, a speedy recovery. We still don't know what the hell happened. There's been a lot of conflicting reports out there. All that we know for certain is that he did go into the hospital. There was some procedure that was done, and he appears to be doing just fine right now. So just want to send our shout outs to him. But yeah, it's Ric Flair, man. You can't kill that melon farmer with a silver bullet. Precisely. So get well soon, Nature Boy. I'm going to dedicate that shot for the Nature Boy Ric Flair. No, as a matter of fact, I'm about to take this shot glass. I'm going to pour a little bit of this Dos Equis into the shot glass. And now this shot will be in dedication of the one, the only, the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Woo!
I just want to, for the record, state that I partake in that as well and finish the last 6 ounces of my beer.
There you go. So all for you, Rick. And only way we could. It's weird because last WrestleMania, because remember he had that health scare where they had to take out like part of his intestine or some crazy shit like that. And he was supposed to stop drinking. But he was not Access last year. I don't even know what they call it. But pre-WrestleMania, outside the stadium that they do WrestleMania, they'll have like a tailgate party where they'll have bands playing and, you know, wrestlers or wrestling personalities will come up and cut promos and stuff like that. So Rick was there, and if Rick wasn't drunk, that's all I'll say. If Rick wasn't drunk,
Listen, the guy, how long was his run? I mean, 50 years, 40 years, let's just say 40 years is, you know, 45 years. Okay. So for 45 years, he masturbated or had sex 3 to 5 times a day, had 10 to 12 beers, and also intermittent everything else along the way. Every single day of his life for 40 years. He's already said that. He's not going to stop just because he had a surgery. In his mind, he's invincible. He survived it.
I guess he says, yeah, I'm not going to let a little thing like a lack of a small intestine stop me from being the Nature Boy.
You all realize that he fucking had a plane crash, broke his back, and came back and won the AWA title. Or no, was it the AWA or the NWA title in the next 2 years? NWA.
It was NWA, yeah. Yes. Fair enough. And hell, man, he's 70, man. He's earned the right to do whatever the hell he wants. When I get to 70, man, I might fuck around and pick up like a crack or meth habit or something just because, you know, see what happened.
And that theory's been floated out there, too. Like, you can, like, your age is your speed limit, right?
Yes. Oh, that's funny.
Or once you become 75 or 80, you can do whatever drugs you want because you don't have that long anyway. So what's the fucking difference?
Yeah, touche. If I stroke out from, you know, an 8-ball of cocaine, what difference does it make? I might have just as easily have stroked out due to fried chicken. Like, what the hell? This is out to the family and friends of Ashley Massaro. You all will remember her. I believe she was the initial Diva Search winner. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct.
Yes, I believe she was the initial Diva Search winner. Is that correct?
If not the initial, she was a Diva Search winner and one of the more popular ones for sure.
Yeah, former Divas champion. I know she posed for Playboy as well. It was brief, but she had a pretty good run in WWE, and she tragically transitioned this week as well at the tender age of 39, man.
Yeah, Jesus. It's really sad. Apparently she had answered fan mail the night before or something like that, and it's tough, you know. It's just Big Rick is actually releasing an episode of Uncomfortable Truth, and it has to do with mental health. And it's with someone that has a really good perspective and has really been involved in all of these things. So if you're feeling down or you're feeling out, talk to someone, whether it's someone that, you know, knows a lot about it or not, just someone that will listen to you. And try and give Big Rick's show, The Uncomfortable Truth, coming out this mental health episode, to listen and just kind of understand more about what's going on and why these kind of things happen. And if there's anything you can do to help.
No, well said, man. Very well said. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of things floating around surrounding the circumstances. I don't really want to speculate, you know, because it's kind of a touchy subject. But I just second what you said, man. And, you know, mental health is real. And yeah, number one, don't think that you're ever alone, because I know personally it's something, you know, I've struggled with, you know, depression in the past and things of that nature. So don't think that you're alone in this, man. Mental health is real. And that's one of the things that of the new generation and this new world that we find ourselves in, that's one of the things that I do like, that people are speaking up and speaking out in regards to mental health. Because, you know, back in the day, it used to be seen as a sign of weakness, that you couldn't, you know, control yourself. You dig? But now people understand that this is real, that mental health is just as important as physical health. So yeah, definitely check out Big Rick's podcast. And yeah, if you're going through some things, or, you know, if you feel a certain way or whatever the case may be, man, if you just feel overwhelmed and you just on the verge of saying fuck it, yeah, please reach out and talk to somebody, you know, preferably a professional. If you can't find a good friend or a family member, and hell, man, if you can't do that, man, just DM me, man. Go to me at The Real C Platt on Twitter, man. DM me, man. I'll DM you my number back, man, and we can sit there and chop it up a little bit, man. Seriously, because everybody needs somebody. And if you don't feel like you have somebody, goddammit, then I'll be your somebody. And that's serious too. That's a shoot, man.
I will 100% back that up and transition us into what we're going to do. C Platt will be there for you. Honestly, go to The Real C Platt on Twitter. If you really need some help, this guy will be there for you. I can 100%, excuse me, back that up. our thoughts and prayers as a whole at thechairshot.com go out to Ric Flair. And our thoughts and prayers as a whole at thechairshot.com go out to the friends and family of Ashley Massaro. Rest in peace as we take a moment of silence. Thank you.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Money!
Money, 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 money!
Money!
Money, 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 money.
Money.
Money, 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 money.
Money.
Money, 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 money. Ooh, collard greens and pinto beans. Don't forget that mac and cheese. I don't know the words to the song, man.
Money.
The funniest part of that song, and it will forever be the funniest part of that song, is that is our president of these here United States theme song. That's hilarious to me.
Should just stop there. Crikey.
That is hilarious. So Money in the Bank is upon us, and the reception or the reaction or the anticipation for Money in the Bank seems to be a little bit tepid. I know the big story or the big thing happening on Sunday is the finale of Game of Thrones. I'm not going to be partaking, so, you know, I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about. But PC Tunney, on a scale of one to woo, how excited are you for Money in the Bank?
You know, right there, that hesitation and the never really bodes well.
Exactly.
It's around, so that, it's like, I mean, on the high end, maybe six or so. There's not really much that's going to happen. I do have, there's so much going on. I mean, I have a Bucks third, you know, game three playoff conference finals at 6 Central, Money in the Bank. Preview show probably starts at like noon. we also got Game of Thrones. I think my plan is to have the Bucks game and Money in the Bank on with the computer and the TV. And then once the Bucks game ends, I'm going to pause Money in the Bank, finish that match, and then watch Game of Thrones, and then come back and finish Money in the Bank. So Money in the Bank is definitely third on the list out of the three for me if we're talking about what's going on Money in the Bank evening.
I didn't realize you were a Throne head. So
I've seen every episode.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had no idea, man. So this season has been a little, we'll say, controversial. There's a lot of people online that are a little pissy about it. What are your thoughts leading into the finale?
Wow. It's funny because on Driving with DeMarco, I kind of laid into some people that bitch about, you know, WWE, and I'm like, don't watch it if you don't like it. So Game of Thrones fans are worse than wrestling fans. And I only want to talk about it and only acknowledge it because I've been asked the question. Okay. These are things that and you can attest to this. There's things like Andita, like Pod is War right here that we're on right now. You and Andrew have like final say, basically, as much as myself and Greg is involved in the conversation. This is you guys' show, and you do what you want to do and talk about what you want to talk. Now, granted, we all work together. Now, when it comes to DWI, and you've been on that show, you are part of that show, you know that it's basically my final say over there. And there's certain things I don't want to talk about. I don't want to rip into certain people. I don't want to rip into certain things. I don't want to go down certain roads. But you asked the question, so I'm going to say it. Game of Thrones fans.
Quit filibustering. Get to it.
Game of Thrones fans are worse than WWE fans. And I bagged on the WWE fans for fucking bitching and moaning. Don't watch it if you don't want to. There's a little thing here. It's got a bunch of fucking buttons on it. It's got a play. It's got a fast forward. It's got a rewind. Change the fucking channel. Don't watch. Fucking record it and fast forward through the things you don't like then. Shut the fuck up. Hey, Game of Thrones. The guy who wrote it already gave the notes to HBO on the major points. If you don't think that the motherfucker who wrote it told them to burn the fucking city down, it's a TV show. Get over it. You're a fucking moron for naming your kid after a fucking TV show character. Name your kids after people in your family that you respect and admire. That's it. I love the show. It's great. The final season's been as great as the rest of the season. There's been so many things that have hit on every single season that you knew was going to happen in that episode anyway. So it's a story. Get over it. Someone wrote this down and you're reading it back to yourself.
So talking to somebody that has never watched a single solitary second of the show, what do you think is going to happen? Are the dragons going to win? I literally don't know what I'm talking about. I know there's dragons and the blonde chick has dragons. And there's a little person on there. But what do you think is going to win? And who's going to win the throne? Is that what's happening here?
Oh, that is what happens. And now people are speculating whether or not the throne will actually survive. The problem is that who you're talking about, the mother of dragons, the lady who has the dragons, who birthed the dragons, basically, she kind of turned and like killed innocent people while burning a city that her nemesis was overlooking.
So she made a heel turn?
Kind of.
Okay.
And people are pissed.
Wow.
Yeah. So now you know why you can equate Game of Thrones fans with wrestling fans.
So who's going to win the throne? What do you think?
I have no fucking clue. This is worse than trying to figure out Vince McMahon. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Everyone wants Jon Snow to take it. So maybe like Vince McMahon at WrestleMania this year, everybody's going to get what they want.
All right. Well, shout out to Jon Snow and James Rain. Stephen Mist, Alexandria Cloud, that touch everything. Steve Grass.
No, you're not anywhere close.
Did I get
close.
Any of them right?
Not no, even. Yeah. It was. Let's just move on. Let's just talk about Money in the Bank.
Fair enough. I'm not that excited about Money in the Bank. I think I'm still trying to get over my WrestleMania hangover. This is the come down off the hangover. You know what I mean? SmackDown and Raw coming out of Mania have all been underwhelming, to say the best, and I'm not much looking forward to it. That being said, it is a stacked card. There's a lot of good matches on there, and, I mean, most pay-per-views deliver. When's the last time that saw just a shitty ass pay-per-view from any entity, you know, be it WWE, New Japan, Impact, TNA, OPP, doesn't matter who puts it on. When's the last time we saw a shitty pay-per-view?
You down with OPP? Yeah, you know me. I'm trying to think. You know, I don't know. I think you really, I follow the storyline, right? So I don't really think back and remember the pay-per-views. I remember the little twists and turns in it. But like you said, yeah, they always put on a good show. You know, you can always find something to pick with. NXT is always regarded as good because it's shorter and more impactful. Yeah. But it's going to be solid. There's going to be something there. It's just going to take 6 hours to get to it. That's all.
So, okay, so the Kofi and KO storyline, I think they've done a good job of doing that. And they've done a really good job of trying to, they're almost trying to Bret Hart Kofi. You know what I mean? They're trying to make him the champion that takes on all challengers and beats all challengers. Like, they're doing a really good job to try to turn him into a credible champion. The twerking and pancakes notwithstanding.
Here's the problem that I have with Kofi is, like, you know this isn't going to be a short title reign. There's no way he's dropping it before SummerSlam.
So you don't think, what, you think there's no peril and that takes away from the match for you? Is that what you're saying?
Do you think Kofi Kingston will drop the title before SummerSlam?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Really?
I wouldn't be surprised if he lost it at Money in the Bank, quite frankly.
Really?
He's a black guy, man. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's my black paranoia. And you, like, I'm being dead serious, man. That's a shoot, man. I always think he's one match away from them taking it off of him. I thought there was a chance he might lose it to either Sammy or AJ last Tuesday.
I'm sitting here telling you with 100% certainty in my mind, 99.8% certainty in my mind that there's no way Kofi comes close to losing the title until SummerSlam. And you're coming back at me like,
well, we don't believe. People.
Excellent drop, by the way, but yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Every time he wrestles a match, I got to imagine it's like watching your child swim for the first time.
Oh shit, he's a stone. There he goes, right to the bottom.
I'm just saying, and they've done, and obviously KO is credible, and now I don't know if they're putting him back with Sami Zayn. It kind of appears that way. I was kind of hoping they'd keep them apart for a little bit, but whatevs. They work well together. The Miz and Shane McMahon, the best in the world. What the hell are you looking at? Okay, cool. Anywho, you know, this is I talked about this brief on my brief run-in on the Miranda Show this week. Check your local listings every Tuesday night on Chairshot Radio Network. But this is a storyline that has gone back all the way to the Jam in the Sand Part 2 when Shane started proclaiming himself the best in the world. And one of the criticisms of WWE is that they don't do a good job, in terms of long-term storytelling. I can't talk today, man. I'm tongue-tied than a motherfucker, man. But, I mean, this has been a long-term story, and I'm still engaged, and I'm interested to see what shenanigans Shane McMahon is going to get himself into in this cage.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's really behind Miz, and that's great. You know, I mean, you can use that moving forward. Do you think Miz could be champion again?
Actually, yes, I do. I think that there's big money in a Miz babyface turn. I mean, you know, he's very well spoken. He's articulate. He's charming. He looks good in a suit. He can speak. And I can see him, you know, going out in public and doing media, doing the press run, because, you know, they're going to do big press for the SmackDown push, going on talk shows and this and that, suited up with a title on his waist, being a damn fine representative for the company.
I mean, you got to think that they're using the steel cage to end this rivalry, right? Shane looks like he could be moving on to Roman Reigns. Why not make Miz look good going out on top and really healthy here and move on and you know, continue to ascend until there's a right time for him to face somebody for the title. I mean, if Seth Rollins decides to, at some point, what if he drops the title back to Brock Lesnar? He's not going anywhere. What about Miz against Brock Lesnar? That could be like the biggest upset of all time. It could be like the 1980 U.S. Olympic team. Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
I don't believe in that miracle, but I smell what you're cooking, though. I smelled you cooking, though. Like, and I could definitely see a title run with Miz, and I think he would be a damn good representative for the company on the corporate side of the game.
I mean, he does have a reality show that is actually getting viewership as opposed to Total Divas.
And if... Oh, wow.
Oh, did I say that? Wow, you went there. I'm sorry. Did I really go there?
Wow. That's... I didn't even know Total Divas wasn't getting ratings.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
But damn.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been on there. Like, even before he made his babyface turn, he's clearly a babyface on that show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to play this, though. You know, I didn't want to be mean to the Bellas, but...
It's about time somebody breaks it to the Bellas. Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Well, I beg to differ. Kobe Bryant's father played professional basketball in Italy, and he transmitted his seed into Mrs. Bryant. Bada boom, bada bing. Now we have Kobe being Bryant. Talent being transferred sexually.
No, his dad didn't have sex with him. That was hereditary. There's a difference. The mom didn't become a...
Was the talent transmitted sexually?
No, it wasn't. Hereditarily. Listen, because sexually would mean that the mom became a better basketball player. Hereditarily means that he fertilized the egg and the egg became a better basketball player.
Have you ever seen Mrs. Bryant play basketball? How do you know she's not a doll? She ain't out here dunking on melon farmers. You don't, do you? That's right, you don't.
I'm just going to really need you to trust me to believe in me here to help you make you look better, okay?
Hey, what are you talking about? Triple H sexually transmitted with Stephanie McMahon. Now she can hit a damn good pedigree. Talent being sexually transmuted or admitted.
Oh, man. We got problems today.
Yeah. Nikki Bella became a woman's champion when she was with Mr. John Cena. Talent sexually transmitted.
Okay, but you understand the difference between that and Kobe and his dad, right?
It was still sexually transmitted. The talent went through the ball, up the ball sack, through the shaft.
It was an assist.
Out the head, into the egg. And it had to be talented because out of the millions of sperm, that was the one that made it. So the talent had to be there. That was Kobe's sperm. It was Kobe's sperm. He was probably eating the other sperm because you know how Kobe is, the Black Mamba. It was Kobe's sperm. Jelly bean sperm. Turn to Kobe.
This is horrible. What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm trying to make this shit interesting, goddammit shit. It's bad enough we couldn't give it to him on the right time, man. I'm trying to say some goofy shit, man. Maybe somebody will laugh.
So on the way to the egg, there's a whole bunch of them, and then there's just one that's super black and Mamba-y, and it's fucking biting all the other ones and killing them before they can get there. And that one turns into Kobe Bean Bryant.
You didn't have to turn it into a race thing. I mean, white people have babies too, PC.
No, but this is Kobe! He's the Black Mamba! Go fuck yourself.
It's super black, huh? Mamba-y. Talk about, man, your talent was transmitted as well. That's how you got here.
Yeah, but not sexually, hereditarily.
Through sex.
To the mother. And the mother transmitted it hereditarily.
Through sex.
No, okay, that's enough. Let's talk about Money in the Bank, goddamn it. You're wrong. Stop sounding bad.
This is how this works, man. You got to have sex, man. I guess now that you don't have to have sex to have a baby, but that's the preferable method, you know. So yeah, all right, cool. Money in the Bank. What's the other feud? AJ and Seth. That's been kind of lukewarm. That build.
That's boring.
I think it's just two guys that wrestle really well. Let's put them together and they'll have a good match. That's what they're banking on this one.
Well, let's talk about this then. Do you think is there any chance Seth Rollins is going to win, lose this match, lose the belt here?
Nah, I can't see it.
All right, then let's keep going. Unless there's something to talk about, we'll just keep going. All right, we'll save that for the end. We'll save that for the end. We didn't talk about that. Tony Nese losing to Daivari here.
Who cares?
Okay, Daniel Bryan and Rowan against the Usos. That's actually something to look forward to as a match. I would like to see these guys have a really good tag match. Yes, no, maybe so.
Yeah, I'm a little pissed that it's on the pre-show because I never watch pre-shows. I'm typically cooking dinner while the pre-show is happening. So I'm a little pissy about that one. hopefully I'll get to watch it because, yeah, you know it's going to be a damn good match. I mean, the Usos are arguably the best team in the world, and Daniel Bryan is arguably the best in the world. So it's going to be a good match, and the people are going to get into it. I don't think the title is going to change hands. I think somehow by hook or by crook, Daniel Bryan's going to hold on to the belts, Tim and Rowan. And if you're not going to put Daniel in the title picture, that's a good spot for him. Keeps him hot. He keeps a belt. And maybe he can bring some relevance back to the tag division.
What I'm hearing is
they do this sometimes, like you like a Jarrett show or, you know, some shit like that where you got a main eventer, but he's not going to be in the main event picture. They'll throw the tag belts on him and give him a run.
This is what I'm hearing. Breaking news. Christopher Platt has Vince McMahon in his doghouse for putting a match he wants to see on the pre-show while he's trying to get his Emeril Lagasse on. This has been Breaking Pot is War News. No?
Oh, I thought you were going to come back with the music to close it out.
Oh, no.
That was a good drop, though.
Yeah.
PC, though, that was a very good drop. You know, as far as a moderator and a podcaster and stuff like that, and as a host, you're very talented. Seriously, that's a shoot, brother. You're very talented.
Now I feel like you hated it.
No, I was just going to ask you, that talent that you have, was that sexually transmitted?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Really?
I'm just saying. What else we got on the card?
Speaking of sexually transmitted talent, did you touch on Roman and Elias already?
I don't even know what segue you're going there. No, I did not touch on Roman and Elias. Oh, because the Samoan bloodline, is that what it is?
Yes.
If I have to ask, it wasn't very good. I'm not saying I'm just.
Or, yeah, well, maybe it's. Anyway, whatever. I'll take that. I'll take that one for you. Go ahead while I go get another beer.
Fair enough. Wow, you're going to go get a beer on the Roman and Salias barn burner, huh?
I need a fucking beer.
All right, fine. It's okay, man. I can walk and chew gum at the same time. I can hold it down like an anvil on a seesaw. So he leads me on Roman and Elias, ladies and gentlemen. I think that you all would probably agree with me that nobody really gives two shits about this match. It's a good way to get both guys on the card, get them a payday. We appear to be spiraling towards Shane McMahon versus Roman Reigns, possibly at SummerSlam, maybe at Jam in the Sand Part 3. Maybe at the next pay-per-view between SummerSlam and Jam in the Sand Part 3. I don't know, but that appears to be where we're going. And there, I talked about this last week on Pod is War as well, how WWE is really keeping Roman Reigns tethered to a McMahon. And I think that's because they think that the grace period of the fans not cheering him and just happy that he's back and not, you know, not dead, I think that they feel as if it's running out. And it might be, quite frankly, because I did see a smattering of boos and heard at WrestleMania. So that's probably why they want to keep a big man tethered to him. But one thing that I'm starting to notice about Roman when he does come out, and this is more concerning even than the boos. I'm trying to set it up and be dramatic about it, like I'm an actual sportscaster like Jim Rohn or something. So here we go. And something more concerning, even more so than the boos. Dun, dun. Dun, dun. I'm almost starting to get a sense of indifference to Roman, which for combat sports and particularly professional wrestling, that's the ultimate death knell. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Just say, oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Just say, oh, yeah, man, I feel you 100%.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. I definitely didn't just put my earbuds back in.
Now, what I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted is one thing that I'm starting to notice a little bit about Roman is there's a few boos here and there, but I'm starting to see a lot of indifference when he comes out. And I think that's kind of the death knell in professional wrestling, because even when he was getting booed, at least the fans were emotionally invested enough to boo his ass. But now I'm starting to see a lot of people sitting on their hands, and that's the exact opposite of what you want.
There's not a lot of people I'm excited to see because there's just too much of them, you know? I mean, I go back every time to get rid of the brand split, have people show up, you know, twice in, you know, once a week, maybe 2 out of 3 weeks or something on over 6 shows. and spread stuff out more. You know, you don't have to pay every storyline off at every pay-per-view. Pay the big ones off at the big pay-per-views. Don't put everybody on every pay-per-view, for fuck's sake.
So I know you heard about the Wade Keller interview, right? With the guy that apparently spent 12 hours drinking with a few members of the WWE creative team. Like, he was close friends with one of the guys, and a couple of other writers met them out, and they were just sitting there for hours just having drinks. And they started, you know, once the ultimate lubricant started flowing, they really started to kind of opening up and bitching and bickering about, you know, everything that they were going through. Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear about it, but I bet you I can tell you what they were bitching about.
Well, that's where these whole Triple H is displeased with Vince. That's where that whole rumor train initiated from.
Here, let's just skip to the end of this fucking conversation. This is Vince's fucking dollhouse that he's had since he fucking decided to combine all the other dollhouses together when he took over from his dad. And he pays all the dolls to be in the house, and it's his house, and he's going to tell them to do whatever the fuck he wants. This is his production. It's his train set. The train stops and starts and goes and comes when he pleases. That's the bottom fucking line. If you don't like it, don't fucking watch.
So when are we going to have the conversation as a family that Vince is mentally, at this point, incapable of controlling this dollhouse? Like, there's something going on up there upstairs, man, and he's not all the way right. I can't be the only one that sees it. You can look in his eyes and see it, man. Like, the eyes are, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still entertained. I mean, I see what they're doing.
Do you? Because it makes no sense to me. Like, I find things on the show that are entertaining just because their roster is so deep. Like, everything can't be a dud. Like, so there's a lot of things that I find entertaining. I'm loving the New Day main event Ascension and the feud with Kofi. What else do I like? I like the Elias segments, man. I do. I'm really digging Shane and The Miz. Becky Two Belts and Lacey and all that. Yeah, I could keep that. The Butt Pirates, or whatever the hell those young ladies are calling themselves. Yeah, they can keep that. What else do I like?
Listen, yeah. Let me tell you something. The NBA had a hard time recovering from Michael Jordan retiring, correct?
Yeah, but it didn't take them 20 years to recover, PC.
I'm glad you said that.
Okay.
The Attitude Era was excellent. Wrestling is not a sport like the NBA is a sport. The talent and the actual game is what gets them over, okay? If you can't play, you can be as funny as you want, but you're not going to get interviewed, okay? The difference between that and wrestling, not saying it isn't athletic, but it's you being a character that gets you over more so or as much as the talent. There's a big difference there in what gets people over in each thing. Yes, if you're super talented and you're in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, soccer, blah, 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 and you got a pretty face and you're polite and you're appeasing, you're going to get over, right? But if you're a wrestler and you don't have that much talent, but you're all of those other things, you can still get super over more than people that have more talent than you, right? And that's the big difference between the two. And WWE's having a hard time finding people that are as great a characters, and the plethora of them and the diversity of them character-wise, okay? Not the diversity that as actually means something that we're trying to continue to enhance that's going on right now. So just to be clear on that.
All right, so number one, to poo-poo on your first example, I'm going to give you two names. Two guys who you can make a compelling argument are the greatest basketball players ever. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying you can make a compelling argument for these two guys, either of these guys, and that's Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. There is a compelling argument to be made that either Magic Johnson or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are the two greatest basketball players that has ever graced the face of this earth.
Okay.
But while one is revered, Magic Johnson, one is not. And Kareem, I mean, he literally scored more points than anybody on the history of the planet that's ever played professional NBA basketball. But yet Magic Johnson is the one that is revered and loved. Why? Personality. Magic Johnson had he oozed charisma and had personality for days. Kareem, he was a little prickly. You know what I mean? To be fair, I'm not saying it's all his fault. There were some other things, but he was a little prickly when it came to the media. So he's not embraced in the same way that Magic Johnson is. So personality matters in the NBA as much as it does in WWE. Now, to your second point, let me ask you this. Is it that they don't have those transcendent personalities on air, or is it that those transcendent personalities on air aren't allowed to come through because of the way that they're booked? I mean, it's a chicken and an egg because, you know, talent, at a certain point, man, talent has to take it, personal accountability has to take precedent in all forms of life. I don't care who you are, across all walks of life, personal accountability at the end of the day has to take precedent. But that doesn't mean that people can't put you in a position to set you up for failure, or not even failure. Just not in a position to succeed. And that's my argument when it comes to WWE, i.e., and not even WWE, Vince McMahon.
There's a third component here, though, because there's a huge difference between talking about Attitude Era and the phenomenal success and the characters and the difference in all of the characters, and opposed to today, is it was harder to actually get to know the people that were those characters back then than it is to get to know the people that are playing the players that play the game of Raw and SmackDown right now. And that X factor difference, one variable between the two, is social media.
Okay, look at the Young Bucks. They were able to transform a social media page into a fucking wrestling promotion. So I think that it's not an easy argument to say because it's not black and white. You know what I mean? Like on one certain, it's
right.
It's
but at the same time, let's put it this way. At the same time, when Stone Cold Steve Austin was super, super fucking over, there weren't also pictures of him on Instagram backstage out of character, making out with, who was he with at the time? Who was the
one Deborah that McMichael.
Was Deborah. Okay. Not that she was as huge a star as the two of Seth and Becky, but now at the same time, you can see that Seth and Becky are characters and the real people are the ones of the picture. You see them with their arms around each other or kissing each other in the backstage, right? You can see the difference now way more clearly than you could back then.
Well, you just made my point for you. And frankly, you probably made it a little better than I was going to make it.
But you're making my point that the difference is it was easier to get over as a character back then because there was less to see of you as a real person as opposed to now. There's more to see as a real person that you have to incorporate already into watching the character that they play on television.
But it could work both ways today. Like I said, I brought up the analogy of the Young Bucks, which they started a Twitter feed and they took that into starting their own promotion. Like it's, you're able to go directly to your consumer. So you can cultivate your fan base. You can have conversations with your fan base and they can, you know what I mean? You can connect with your fan base on a more of an interpersonal level with social media. Now, the downside to that, like you brought up, man, like, for example, I don't want to see Bray fucking Wyatt out here taking pictures with Make-A-Wish kids. Like, that's not, you know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? So I do wish that there was a little more kayfabe or they would put a little more kayfabe.
Unless the kid can play along and do a good job, right? Like the kid's just like, the kid's totally into it. He's like a 5-year-old Mick Foley, right? He's like, yeah, I want you to actually slap me a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be a working kid. It can't be a shoot kid.
I knew at some point we'd hit gold, and it took us all the way to here to get to it. It took us to Bray Wyatt visiting fucking children's hospitals. For Make-A-Wish as his character and the kid playing along with it. Okay? That's what it took to hit gold this week. That's what it took to hit gold. Oh, crap, man. I don't know. I think we got to play this now. Where the fuck is it?
Hi, kids. Do you like violence? Want to see me stick 9-inch nails in each one of my eyelids?
I don't know
why, I just felt like it fit.
My name is what? My name is who? My name is Chicka Chicka Bray Wyatt.
I'm about to drink a fifth of vodka. Dare me to drive? I mean, dare me. Double dog dare me. Triple dog dare me, motherfucker. I'm just kidding, man. That's not funny, man. Don't drink and drive, man. I'm just talking shit. Seriously. Public service announcement. Don't drink and drive. You might spill it.
No, come on. You know the tagline. Don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast, baby.
Thank you. Yeah, it's way too many ride shares out here and shit like that, man. Hell, the goddamn bar that you're at, they got to call you a taxi, because if not, they could be held liable if you go out and do some dumb shit. So it's too easy to find your way back home, man.
Do you Uber?
Yes.
I do, too, all the time. If I go out and I can't walk, I Uber. That's it. I'm done. I'm giving in. It's worth it. Who cares? If I spend an extra 50, 60 bucks to Uber around, then I shouldn't have went out if I couldn't afford it.
Bruh, I'll Uber in anticipation. I anticipation Uber. Like, if I'm going somewhere and it's like, okay, I know I'm going to get shwasted, man. I'm not even, fuck it. We going to Uber there, we going to Uber back. Fuck it.
Oh, that's what I mean. That's what I do. Yeah, I'm going both ways.
Or we've got the train like half a mile from us, so we'll walk to the train and go wherever we're going to go. And then at a certain time, the train cuts off, so we can't get back, so then we got to Uber back. But yeah, it's really not worth it, man. It's not.
No. Not at all. No. And trust me, at the end of the day, it's $10,000 as opposed to $50, so.
And bro, speaking of somebody that had a DUI like 12 years ago, yeah, that shit, it's pricey, and it's going to put your life on hold until you deal with the shit.
All right, let's take one more pause for the cause before we get into Becky Two Belts and her two matches as we round up our Money in the Bank preview. How do you feel about that, Platt?
Two belts, but I got me a few won. She different.
Boy, she's telling you to make sure you check
out. I was going to play the
commercial. No, go ahead, man. I wasn't going to say nothing good. It wasn't going to end well. Back to Kenny Killer.
Oh, man, we're going to leave that in now. Sorry.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Speaking of Amber PC, who just dropped that lovely drop. I sank further and further into domestication today, man.
Oh yeah, Kariba. I want to know the verdict on what we were talking about before the show, and you can just say yay or nay. We don't have to get into it. I mean, are you gonna have to leave the domicile tonight or not?
Nay.
Oh, good I for think, you. Good for you. Good
I think
you.
Nay. Yeah. Good for you. Good for but you. I can remember, man, on a Saturday, man, 10 years ago on a Saturday, man, at this point in time, I'd probably be taking body shots off some bimbo somewhere at a bar, getting shwasted, just living life. And there's nothing like that feeling. I'm not going to lie, man. One of the greatest feelings in the world is when you wake up somewhere strange that you don't know where you're at, and it only lasts for maybe a split second. You wake up and you're like, where the fuck am I at? And then you get it together. But that initial feeling, man, that's better than any roller coaster you could ever ride, man.
The worst part about it, though, is when you wake up and then you're like, all right, I got to get you finally realize what happened. And you're like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And you kind of turn your head over and you look over and she's right next to you and your arm is underneath her head. And you just want to, you don't want to have a conversation. It's like... You're almost to the point where you're like that guy who got trapped when he was climbing and he fell and the rock had his arm pinned.
Yeah, the James Franco movie.
Yeah. You're just like, shit, is there any way I could, like a rat, should I just chew my arm off and leave it there? You know what? At least she has something from the night. I lost a little bit and learned a lesson, but she didn't wake up, so I didn't have to worry about it, you know? Oh, man.
Do you know what the highlight of my day was today, sir? We went bed shopping. So we went to Rooms To Go. We got the mattress. We got the I don't know what they call it anymore. They don't call it the frame, and they don't have box springs anymore, apparently. There's new technology. I don't know what they call that shit, but the base. That's what they call it, the base. So we bought the mattress. We got the base for free, and then we got the headboard and the footboard, and they were like emerald green or something like that. Like, they were cute, but that's the highlight of my day. And the bed is like, you remember those silly Posturepedics back in the day, like the commercials, like you hit a button and they like raise up like the Undertaker. The bed does that.
Oh, Nice.
So that we can raise the bed up and down. That was the highlight of my day. Going bed shopping, and she was just as happy. She was so fucking happy. She's still on cloud nine, bro. Like, for real, for real. She's, like, really excited about this.
Maybe she's waiting to use the option of the bed moving up and down.
No, you know what's going to end up happening? She's going to be asleep. I'm going to come in drunk, wanting to watch the WWE Network and sit up and do it. And she's going to be dead ass asleep, and I'm going to stay with the bed up. So I can watch for the 867th time Savage versus Steamboat at WrestleMania 3.
Does each side go on its own, or does the whole thing go together?
The whole thing goes together.
Yeah, Kreba, come on, you're smarter than that.
So that's how and they brought, and she's out with my mother now too, who's here. So they dropped me off so I can come record our podcast. And now they went to Ross and they're picking out bar stools and shit like that. And she picked out this one bar stool that was ugly as work shoes, but then she said, "Well, it'll match our couch pillows," does match our couch pillows. I'm not even gonna lie, it does.
Do you ever watch Survivor?
But yeah, that's the life is now. What'd you say?
You ever watch Survivor?
Bro, I ain't watched Survivor since the first season.
And the problem is you never let your two nemesis go off together because they come back a team to kick your ass.
Bro, let me tell you something, man. Because I could take it both ways. I'm trying to look at it from a positive spin, because it is a positive thing, man. Like, I literally have my two biggest fans in the world. Like, there's nobody on the face of the planet that is more pro-Christopher than my mother and my lady. And they're together, and I've got that energy flowing with me, and I'm going to use that to my advantage. And ultimately, I'm going to make sure it's a positive. You know what I mean?
All I'm going to say is you're welcome, and let's talk about Becky Two Belts.
Two belts, but I got me a few on.
I mean, what do you think she's winning? You think she's losing? Both? I mean, what's going on? What's in your head? The people listen to this show. They want to hear you and Balls argue, but right now, all we can do is listen to the velvety, lovely pipes of Mr. Christopher Platt as he gives his MVP opinion on the Becky Lynch situation tomorrow at Money in the Bank.
Well, first and foremost, shout out to our listeners, man. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate both of you. As far as, you know, prevailing logic would say that she's going to beat Lacey and Charlotte is going to beat her by some nefarious means and take the belt over to SmackDown. So SmackDown still has the belt. I don't see anything that's made me to believe that anything other than that is going to happen, quite frankly. I think, unless you want to run with the Becky Two Belts thing, because we did just come out with the shirts last month, maybe we want to sell a few more Becky Two Belts.
So you're saying,
you think that she's going to escape?
You're saying the most likely thing is for her to beat Lacey and lose to Charlotte.
Yeah, I think that is the most likely thing. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I mean, if you're writing the shit down on paper, anybody with half a brain and part of a partial working nutsack would have to agree with that.
Well, I think the complete opposite. I think the opposite of that is the most likely. I think the in the middle thing is for her to hold on to the belts and what you said. Because here's why. Why not let Lacey Evans get over by taking that belt back to Raw? Sasha's coming back at some point. Let Becky, and more importantly, let the Becky and Charlotte feud continue on SmackDown. This is Fox. This is the A show. Becky and Charlotte are on SmackDown. Why can't Charlotte lose the opening match of Money in the Bank to Becky, be upset about it, and at some point interfere and cost Becky the Raw title to Lacey? And that way we have the rest of the summer leading into SmackDown in October on Fox with Becky and Charlotte, and Lacey gets the whole summer to be the Raw Women's Champion, eventually losing it to whoever you want to put over at that point. There's a number of women that are on Raw that are exceptional.
I hope that doesn't happen, because I know they're trying to push Charlotte and Becky as, you know, the female equivalent to Rock and Austin, but it's coming across more to me like Orton and Cena. I'm just tired of them wrestling together and working together, and I want them both to go on and do other things. Not saying we can't revisit this feud. Obviously, they're the two biggest ones they got right now, so we're going to revisit this at some particular point in time, but not now, man. Let's just chill for a minute. Let's let them go off. Maybe Charlotte can go feud with the Butt Pirates or whatever the hell they're calling themselves, and Becky Two Belts and Lacey can continue their feud or whatever the case may be.
I believe it's the Kabuki Warriors.
Or the Kabuki... Wow, I'm totally off, huh? I'm not going to lie, man. I thought at least one of those names was correct. I ain't going to lie to you.
Well, let's transition over and talk about the... Let's talk about the Money in the Bank matches to close this out here before we talk a little bit of NBA basketball. Let's start with the Women's Money in the Bank. We've been talking...
Are these not the two least impressive Money in the Banks that you've ever seen? Like, does either of these Money in the Banks make anybody moist? Ooh, look at Scottie Pippen looking old as hell, trying to refute the statement that black don't crack. This motherfucker looked like a goddamn tiki mask.
We're about to watch game three of the Western Conference Finals. And, we're watching it, actually. And
Scottie Pippen looked like Mum-Ra from the Thundercats. You remember Mum-Ra?
I do. I had all the Thundercats.
Scottie Pippen looked like Roger from Doug. You remember Roger from Doug?
This is a little bit more relaxed show than you used to on Pot is War. No balls tonight, but we're talking ball.
No balls tonight. Well, that's not true. We got four, just not five.
No, I said no balls tonight, but we're talking ball. You know, a little bit of play.
You didn't. No, I heard your play. You didn't catch my play.
I heard it.
Word.
What do you think of Dame's shoes?
You were my friend first, motherfucker. You don't have to worry about burying that son of a bitch.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to bury him. I'm trying to keep him in the conversation. It's quite the opposite, my friend.
I actually like Dave's shoes, man. They look like two big-ass highlighters. But he won't get lost, or he won't get hit crossing the street, so that's cool.
Ugh. I suppose. I don't know. I don't like the fact that they can go outside the color scheme in their jerseys.
Oh, come on, man. God damn. Really? You're that guy? You're going to be that guy?
Why can't they save that, though, and capitalize on it, you know?
What do you mean? How are you going to capitalize on highlight yellow shoes, sir?
You can have
a Portland Trailblazer.
You any home games on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you can wear whatever color shoes you want. But once you get to the playoffs, you got to be within the color scheme.
Bruh, he plays in Portland, Oregon.
I'm well
How
aware
many more
of what
times
happens
is he gonna be in
Portland?
The Western Conference Finals on national television. He got to do what he got to do to get himself over, sir.
He's got 3 days a week during the regular season to wear whatever the fuck he wants.
Exactly. So he's trying to show the fuck out on national television.
I don't know. It just looks stupid.
Gotta get yourself over by any means, man.
It looks stupid, though. Like, okay, the shoes are cool, but like as a whole, it looks dumb, doesn't it?
He stands out.
He looks like
what
it reminds me of is like we're playing NBA 2K on whatever fucking console, and like that's your guy, and he has green shoes, so you know it's where your fucking guy is.
I was gonna say, you remember when Fox was showing the NHL and they had that weird flashy thing with the puck? Yeah, so you always knew where the puck was at all times. That's what it reminds me of.
Apparently, we're playing NBA Jam, and he's on fire.
Pop. All right, let's get this Money in the Bank over with, man, because this shit ain't making me moist. So we got the women's, we got the men's. The women's, I on the Miranda Show, again, every Tuesday on Chair Shot Radio Network, I predicted that this was the time that Mandy Rose was going to get the briefcase on the Carmella side of the game. They and on the Greg DeMarco Show, also Tuesdays on Chair Shot Radio Network, he and Patrick O'Dowd, who again sounds like Saul Goodman from Better Call Saul, I don't know if you've ever picked up on that, but he does. Yeah, they made a very compelling argument for Dana Brooke winning, and that makes a lot of sense because the past few months they have been Dana's been getting a bit of a push, man, and she's coming into her own a little bit. I just don't see her winning Money in the Bank. What do you think about women's Money in the Banks anyway, man? Because I get scared anytime one of these ladies takes a bump off a ladder, and it's not even being I'm not being sexist when I say this. It's just women are not as big as men, so they can't absorb as much punishment as men. And it just makes me, I understand why they're doing it, because they're trying to show equality and yada this, yada that. But I just, anytime a woman takes a bump off a ladder or gets hit with the ladder or something like that, I cringe a little bit.
I'm not necessarily worried more for a woman than I am for a man. But I think that the women approach the match differently. And I think it can be better. They have had better matches than the men in certain different kinds of matches. So it doesn't really bother me at all. I'm actually looking forward to it. I like to see what they can do differently than the men do. I mean, they're going to come at it from a different angle, obviously, right?
So am I an asshole for saying that?
I was trying to just transition away from that and just keep going and forget about what you said.
I promise I wasn't trying to be an asshole.
I understand that.
Yeah, I was showing legitimate concern for women. Come on, man. The past fucking however long we did the Pod is War reboot, which went back to the original, however long we've done that, how many weeks have I come on these airwaves and talked about how the women's division, the WWE women's division, was the most compelling thing in all of professional wrestling? How many weeks have I come on here and say that?
I don't know if that has anything to do with the comment you just made.
How many weeks did I come on here prior to them being named the main event of WrestleMania, promoting them and saying that they needed to be the main event of WrestleMania?
I've already tried to get you away from this.
How many times did I come on here and say that the women deserve their own show because there's enough compelling characters and great wrestlers that they deserve their own show? How many times have I said that? And one comment, that's going to sweep all that shit away, huh?
You should probably PayPal me to edit this.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fuck it, man. Go ahead. Man. What you want to talk about there? Fine. You say words. You say words then. Shit. Say words.
I think I can eliminate.
Say things.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I think you can eliminate. Good God. I think you can eliminate half the women and half the men in both of these matches and know that they're not going to win it. I love the late addition of Nikki Cross. I think they should give it to Nikki. I'll play with Nikki.
I'm sure you would, you nasty fuck, but she's a married woman, sir. God damn. But I'm the asshole. Okay, cool. But I'm the asshole, and that's the prevailing logic here. All right. I'll wear that like a badge of honor. Fuck everybody. To quote the great Jim Cornette, thank you, fuck you, goodbye.
Yeah, well, that's from, anyway, but yeah, you're like Vince Vaughn in the booth and Swingers, you're standing up in the cafe, so I'm the asshole here, right? Okay.
Apparently so.
Let's talk about the men.
Be interested, though. No, go ahead, man, because yeah, there's not a whole lot. I'm not, that women's match doesn't make me moist. I'm sure it's going to be a good match, but yeah, it's just here.
If you want to know who we're going to pick for that match, just go to thechairshot.com. Morning Money in the Bank, and you'll find out who everybody picked. All right, men's Except Money in the me. Bank. But really, you didn't get your picks in yet,
dude? I totally forgot, man. This has been a crazy week, man. Like, I moved my mom back in here. It's just been a lot going on, man. And you know, I'm always kind of
when we're done.
Anyway,
when we're done recording here, you hop on the good foot and do the bad thing, and send me your picks. How's that sound,
my man? Appreciate you. Wait a second, man. You were supposed to have done that column prior to us recording, sir.
No, it's not going up till the morning. Sorry. There were things that needed to happen. I was late at work, etc.
That means he had to go to the liquor store, folks.
Ah, Christ. Men's Money in the Bank. Ricochet, McIntyre, Corbin, Balor, Ali, Andrade, Sami Zayn, and Randy Bobandy, Keith Orton.
Randy, Bobandy, Banana, Fana, Fufandy, Fee,
Me, Bobandy, Randy.
Randy. God, Jesus. You set it up, though.
Ali, Ali, Bobali, Banana, Nana, Fofali, Me, My, Momali.
Ali.
Andrade, body, bo body, bo banana, nana, fo body, me, my, mojade.
Oh, okay, it's ran into the ground by now. We're done here.
McIntyre, bo McIntyre, banana, nana, nana, fo McIntyre, be, by, bo, check, and tire, Drew.
Okay, we're done. We're done.
No, I think they want to keep hearing it. Ricochet, well, bicochet, banana, nana, for ficochet, me, my, Monica, Shay, Rico.
Shay.
Yeah.
I probably would have went Rick, Rick, oh shit, banana, banana, you bitch, me, my, boo, bitch.
See, they just wanted to hear you do it.
But this is another match, man, where the prevailing logic would say that Drew McIntyre goes over here. I would love to see my man, Mr. O'Shea, get the thing here. Andrade is interesting if they gave him the money in the bank. But a little tidbit from that Wade Keller interview, and I know you don't like talking about this, and I'm not even the biggest Wade Keller fan, but I listen to Keller, I listen to Meltzer. A, I listen to everybody, man, because, you know, I want to know what the fuck is happening. B, eventually I'm going to figure out a way where we can make some money doing this shit, so I might as well listen to as many motherfuckers do this shit as I possibly can and try to learn from them. You know what I mean? The good, the bad, and the ugly, you dig? And the guy that they had on there who had the 12-hour drinking session with a few writers from WWE, they gave a story about Andrade. They said that apparently, allegedly, we'll say, that Andrade stormed into Vince's office and he demanded that he get a better push. He said, you know, I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world, yada, yada, yada. I deserve to be pushed. And allegedly, Vince looked him in the eyes and said, learn English, then get back to me. So, I don't know if you recall on SmackDown a few, but, well, I mean, the thing is, that's why you put him with Zelina Vega, so the motherfucker ain't got to speak. But if you remember SmackDown a couple of weeks ago, when he actually got on the mic and was speaking a little bit, they say that that was his response to what Vince told him, saying, hey, man, motherfucker, I'm trying, goddamn shit.
And what did you think of his English that day?
That's why you put Zelina Vega with him, though, man. That's right, the point.
So your answer was horrible.
Man, I'm not shitting on that man's English, man. I'm saying that's why he's with Zelina Vega.
I'm not saying I need him to speak any English or speak at all. He's amazing in the ring. La Sombra has always been phenomenal.
Yeah, but that's why you put Zelina with him. But, you know, I whatever, but that came out. So that made me look like, okay, maybe this ain't Andrade's time quite yet. I have to go McIntyre, and it's just by default, even though I hope that anybody but McIntyre wins, because, well, I don't want to see Baron win either, but that would actually be perfect, actually, if Baron won. But I don't want to see McIntyre with the briefcase, because I feel like that's the most boring option, you dig?
I understand. I think Ricochet is your best bet if you're trying to make stars out of people that are going to win Money in the Bank. I mean, who's a bigger star than Ricochet and what he does and what he can stand for? I mean, it's amazing. He's just this super high-flying, smaller person that can be bigger than life, and who isn't that inspirational for?
That's fair, man, but I'm just pissed they had him lose to Magnum P. Rude.
Dickie Thon?
Jesus Christ. Jim Carrey from Me, Myself, and Irene.
How about Ron Burgundy?
Hey, Ron Burgundy. I didn't think there were any original jokes that I had heard, but we just came up with three regarding Bobby Roode's mustache. So kudos to us, man.
Raleigh Fingers?
I haven't heard Raleigh Fingers either. That's another good one.
What else you got?
Raleigh Fingers. Like, Dennis Eckersley.
Looks like someone taped a comb to his fucking lip.
Man, Bobby Roode, man, get that caterpillar off your face, man. What's wrong?
Yeah. Eric Carle presents Bobby Roode in The Hungry Caterpillar.
But yeah, Corbin would be interesting. Corbin is over, man. I don't know if he has that go away, turn the channel heat, or if he has legitimate heat, but that farmer's over. Like, motherfuckers really hate that dude.
I think, honestly, I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be interesting if KO did win. And I brought this up, you know, on the DWI podcast. What if KO wins the title from Kofi, Sammy wins the Money in the Bank, they continue their friendship on each episode, and Kevin is just nervous as hell. Even though Sammy's friendly, he's worried about, like, you know, Sammy brings the briefcase over his head, and he's, like, worried he's going to hit him with it, stuff like that. He's just super, you know, on edge around Sammy. I think that could be a really interesting storyline.
That would be funny. It really would, yeah. I could see that. And it's what Kevin Owens deserves. Why do people befriend Kevin Owens at this point, man? He's, like, the worst friend in the world. Thanos is a better friend than Kevin Owens.
and I'm not even an MCU fan, so I get that, though. Does Kevin Owens need like a big gardening glove to wear on one hand with emeralds on the knuckles?
That's funny. I can see that. Kevin Owens and the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
I'm going to cash in a stone now so we don't have to wrestle. This is my peace stone.
Thanos Owens. I don't know how. Thanos Owens
is probably your best bet. Thanos Owens.
There you go. Yeah, this is really close to Fat Owens.
Well, that's pretty apropos as well. But gun to your head, man. And who you see coming out Money in the Bank? You think it's going to be Ricochet?
No, I don't, unfortunately. It's probably going to be McIntyre. I'm hoping it's Zayn or Ricochet, though. I'll tell you what.
It's probably going to be McIntyre or Corbin.
I'll eliminate half the field in both. Okay? Naomi, Natty, Bayley, and Carmella are not winning Money in the Bank.
Oh, Bayley. Shout out to Bayley, man. I can't believe she's been holding this whole time and I never noticed. And now that's all I can stare at in her matches, which that's not going to do much to ingratiate me with our female population. But goddammit, it's true.
Balor, Ali, Randy Orton, and most likely.
You can't eliminate Randy, though. I wouldn't eliminate Randy.
Randy's not winning it. Balor's not winning it. Ali's not winning it. And I'm going to say it right now, Ricochet's not winning it. I eliminated 50% of both of them.
Well, let me make a case for Randy. I'm not saying he's going to win it. I'm just making a case. You remember, 10 years ago when Kofi was set to get a main event push and they put him in that feud with Randy and the infamous spot that he blew and Randy's yelling at him and calling him stupid and stuff like that?
Yes, sure, I remember.
Seriously, you don't remember any of this?
No, I probably...
Okay. We watch a lot of wrestling and drink a lot of booze, man. I understand. Don't worry. Amen. But it's a thing. It happened.
So I believe
what better synergy? That's why when Kofi went into his gauntlet match, that's why Orton was the last person that he wrestled, because it was bringing that storyline full circle. So what better synergy would it be for to see Randy win the Money in the Bank and then cash in on Kofi? I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying.
No,
I can't rule him out completely.
I think the rest of Randy Orton's career should go like this. He never, ever has a match on Raw or SmackDown or at a house show. He's only involved in pay-per-view matches that have multiple men in them. But he just shows up randomly and RKOs people, and you think he's involved in feuds, but he never really has a match unless it's a multi-man match on a network special.
All right, so basically... What was that porn star named Jasmine St. Clair minus the RKOs? She just randomly shows up in situations with multiple men because she had like the game bang record for a time. She was married to the Blue Meanie, so it brings it full circle into wrestling again. And I think they actually ran a promotion for a little bit.
Blue World Order.
I'm just saying, man, it brought it full circle. Anywho. All right, so, okay, you just narrowed the field down by 50%. You did that for a reason, I'm presuming. Please get to it.
Yeah, if you want to know more, you know, go to thechairshot.com and check out the Chairshot staff
picks. Oh, how you going to blue ball the audience, Jack?
Yeah, you know, you got Tunney's takes.
Oh, boo this man. Wow, how you going to blue ball our audience, man? Those two guys are, man. They're going to send you some angry tweets, mister.
Or they just got a lot closer.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. It's going to be a good show, man. I hope you guys check it out in between your thrones and your medieval cosplay fantasy bullshit, okay?
I got the Bucks game, too. Come on, now.
Well, we're getting to that now, man. I was going to use that for a segue, but since you did it, go ahead and segue.
Oh,
you got we got John Tesh queued up.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, we will. Oh, really? I only got the ESPN one?
Oh.
Hold on, we'll find it.
The soothing tones of Mr. Jonathan Tesh.
No.
God damn it.
Hold on.
Fine. Do, 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 do.
That visual cue was just to, for you to introduce the clip, not to keep singing on your own.
I thought that was
But actually, I'll take one more round of you due to doing it and then introducing it. So,
ladies and gentlemen, the sultry, savory tones of Mr. Jonathan Tesh.
Had to give you the whole run there. That was nice, right? That was the whole run. That was the whole thing. That was the whole kit and caboodle. If you'd enjoyed it, back in the day, NBA on NBC, John Tesh, that was it right there. I'm not sure which version I like better,
though. What do you
think
John thinks about that, man?
Oh, he loves it.
What do you think he thinks about that? Because does he?
Oh, yeah. He's been interviewed for it many times. He loves that that's most fans' favorite NBA theme song. I think every network... The NBA should buy that theme and just let everybody use it, whatever network it is. I mean, ESPN has a nice one. But it's not as good as...
No, not at all. Because I've always wondered his thoughts about that, because, you know, going into the studio, obviously he wasn't saying, all right, guys, let's make a song that's going to be the song of the NBA.
No, but when you're a music maker... And things of that nature, you want to inflict emotion into people with certain things. You play a low note or a minor key to know somberness or sadness, and you play faster notes and more soprano notes to encourage happiness, etc. So to see emotion come along with the thing that people love in a game of basketball, while you're putting highlights behind the music that he's put his heart and soul into, you know, that's got to give him extreme pleasure.
Fair enough. Either way, man, shout out to John Tesh, man. Tesh, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
I've been drinking.
You know what? We're talking NBA, and let's talk about it right now. Because in my opinion, Giannis comes out to the middle of the court every night and goes,
"This is my yard now."
Well played.
Thank you.
Kevin Durant might have something to say about that, but as of right now, like, Giannis has been all balling his ass off, man.
Yeah,
and
well, you know
the
what?
Guys caught a...
Before you get into it, and I'll let you go, I apologize. There's no way Kevin Durant ain't got a good foot to hop on, if you know what I mean.
Oh, that's a low blow.
Well, whatever.
Really?
Sometimes it's
just
hurts.
Bro, you ain't won nothing yet, man. You don't have the right to be that fucking cocky yet. win one first.
You know,
coming from a Cleveland guy.
Talk to me in a couple weeks.
Yeah, win one first, man, before you can say some shit like that.
Maybe we'll wear some. Maybe we'll wear some lime green shoes and see what player we are.
Yeah, right. Do you even own a pair of lime green shoes? What's the brightest colored shoes that you have? You seem like a Vans guy, either a Vans or a Nike guy. Which ones?
No.
Yes.
I do like what Nike. I do. Nike. Fila. I got a couple of Filas that I wear right now. I got a nice gray. I got a nice gray with some white sole underneath it. Filas that I wear a lot.
you're an athlete, so I knew you had some Nikes somewhere because you're, you know, you're a damn good athlete. But yeah, you kind of look like a Vans guy too. I can see you walking around with your Vans and your little jeans. Your little jeans with the creases in them.
I've never owned a pair of Vans. My basketball shoes are Nike. My golf shoes are Nike.
Fair enough. Do you have golf cleats or what?
No, I'm soft spikes for a long time. Even playing baseball, I haven't worn molded plastic cleats or metal cleats in 2 decades almost. I wear turf shoes to play baseball, and I wear non-spiked golf shoes. I've never had a problem with them. If they provide enough traction, I'm just that good.
Don't excuse the fuck out of me, man. I don't mind lack of humility. I actually welcome it. Does it not rain a lot in Milwaukee?
Apparently, lately it does.
Ah,
that's why that's why I had to cut the grass today. We're getting more rain tomorrow.
Ah, well, that's because they're fucking with the weather, man. Look up the Herp machine and stay woke. Anywho, back to the NBA. Yeah, you guys, I feel like you dodged a bullet going against Toronto as opposed to Philly, because I feel like Philly has a lot more weapons that could have challenged y'all, and they've got a lot more defenders that they could have potentially thrown at Giannis. You're catching a Toronto team, which is really pretty much a one-trick pony. This is going to come down to Giannis versus Kawhi, and so far, Giannis has been up to the challenge, man. I got home late last night, probably about 1:50 in the morning. And I said to myself, all right, I'm not going to turn the TV on yet. I'm going to wait this last 10 minutes, and I'm going to turn on so I can see the highlights of the game, because I had avoided spoilers and scores and all of that. And I waited that extra 10 minutes just to turn on and witness a 23-point blowout. So that was cool. Well, not really.
I mean, the Bucks losing that first game to Boston at home really put them out there to say, hey, you know, we can't do that. They had a big game one comeback. They can't lose games at home anymore. They know how talented Toronto is. My perspective on the Bucks series and them in general here in the playoffs is going to be completely, you know, objective. I'm a fan. I want them to win.
Don't say.
I'm there, et cetera, et cetera. I can still recognize their weaknesses and their strengths, though, at the same time. And look at it this way. 1 through 6 on the court and on their roster, I think they're better than every other team.
Okay, so what about 7 through 9? Because that's where you're going to beat Golden State, because their bench is hot garbage.
Well, and then when we go to there, you got Ersan Ilyasova, you have George Hill, who have both played excellent. You can also go to Sterling Brown or Pat Connaughton or even DJ Wilson, somebody like that. These are the people, you know, Tony Snell is also deep in that bench. But to start with, having the ability to flex out Nico Mirotic and Malcolm Brogdon to go along with Bledsoe, Middleton, and Brook Lopez, who had an excellent game. And not to mention the fact that they can bring him out, put Giannis at center, and you have Middleton and Mirotic in the front court. You know, the addition of Brogdon coming back is amazing. That really solidifies this team. Eric Bledsoe is the heart. Giannis is the drive. And Middleton and Brogdon and Mirotic are the shooters, along with Lopez when he can do it. Budenholzer is an excellent coach. I take nothing away from Toronto. Kawhi Leonard is a beast, but when you look at their bench, it means nothing. We're basically doing NBA Finals preview. While Portland is winning this game right now, I fully believe that Golden State's going to come back. Do you feel any different that we're not going to see Bucks-Warriors? I think we should be matching them up.
That's actually where I was going to go with it, man. For starters, I love Chris Middleton. I've always loved Chris Middleton. He's a guy that I would go to war with. The most impressive thing that I've seen your Bucks do this entire postseason is the fact that they've been able to win even when Bledsoe isn't playing at his best. Because I thought that was going to be an issue coming into the postseason.
Well, that's been one of Bledsoe's strengths, though, is to let other guys have big nights. When he needs to do it, he does it. He's a really important guy, and that's why he got the contract that he got, right? But at the same time, he doesn't have to do it all the time, and that's what kind of, to me, is one of his best attributes. He can be happy not having to do that all the time.
Touche. And I think that that's one of the reasons. I think Golden State knows that they can beat Portland without KD. Is it going to be a sweep? Maybe not. But, you know, 5-6 games, we can wrap this shit up. So why not rest him for the next round when you're really going to need him, because I don't think they beat Milwaukee without, I'm not even going to say a healthy KD, because nobody's healthy at this point in time. These Mellon Farms have been playing 100 games, man, since September. But they're not going to be able to beat Milwaukee without KD, as well as they're playing right now. And, you know, that's going to be the national narrative that the media drives. You know, oh, they actually better than without Kevin Durant, and the chemistry is about yada yada. No, you're not better taking the best player on the planet out your lineup, with all due respects to Giannis. You're not going to be better taking the best player in the planet on the planet out your lineup. You're just not. That's not how this works.
They're not deep enough right now either.
No, their bench is trash, man, and that Boogie injury is going to come back to – I'm not going to say it's going to come back to haunt them at some point, but it might, because, I mean, they're, you know, Iguodala is not playing well. Iguodala is spotty. Livingston has been trashed this entire postseason. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe just the mileage caught up on him. And those jackasses they have as centers, eh.
You know, I mean, you think about the minutes that JaVale McGee gave him, you know, and he's gone now. So, I mean, he's matured in the last few years. Despite his feud with
Shaq. Well,
he's
young. That's the thing. He's young. You know what I mean? They don't have a lot of youth on that, excuse me, on that bench. Didn't they bring Bogut back?
They did.
Yeah, so there you go. That's how desperate they were.
True. True.
Well, you know there's something about Bogut, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. He's an excellent player here in Milwaukee.
No, he wasn't a bad player in his day, man. It's just that his day, you know, ended like 6-7 years ago.
He's probably the second or third best center in Milwaukee history, behind Alcindor, obviously, and maybe Bob Lanier.
I don't know. Joe Bear Carroll might have something to say about that. Or Jack Sigma. Come on, man. Jack Sigma?
I don't know.
Andrew Bogut's better than Jack Sigma.
At their peak, Bogut was fucking phenomenal at his peak.
He wasn't no all-star. Wasn't Jack Sigma an all-star for y'all?
I think Bogut was an all-star.
No, maybe in the East, because I think Jamal McGlure was an all-star in the East, so that don't mean nothing.
That's a true story.
But that's going to be an interesting series, and the thing that's going to irritate me is because ratings are going to go down, because the ratings have already been down with, you know, minus LeBron. Everybody been talking about how they got sick of it being LeBron versus Golden State every year, but the NBA ratings have, you know, drastically gone down from the lack of LeBron. But I think that's going to be a good series.
Well, what's the best for ratings for NBA then? It's got to be Golden State and Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, the best of what's left. Yeah, you're right. The best would have been Boston and Golden State, but yeah, as of what's left, yeah. Nobody wants to see a bunch of flipping Canucks in the finals. No disrespect to Toronto. I love Toronto. I absolutely love Canada, and I love Canadians, but yeah, nobody wants to see that. So yeah, that's what's best for business.
Listen, my last thoughts on this whole playoff thing is there's clearly one dominant team in the West, and right now it's hard to debate that there's clearly one dominant team in the East, and they may be just the – I fight trying to say this because I know I'm a fan of the Bucks, but they've done the same thing in three series now. They're just a better team. Their record shows that they've been a better team than everybody, and without Kevin Durant, or even with a not 100% Kevin Durant, I fully expect the Bucks to beat Golden State in 5 games with home court.
Well, here's the thing, PC, and everything that you say made sense. Like, coming from a rational, logical perspective, you're 115% correct. But the thing that you don't take into consideration, my friend, is that this will be, what, the fifth consecutive year that the Golden State Warriors have been to the NBA Finals. There's something to be said about that, man. Like, this ain't the NCAA, man, where you can just catch a hot run and you can make it all the way to the finals, or even the NHL, where you can catch a hot goalie and make it all the way to the Stanley Cup, or the Major League playoffs, where you get two hot pitchers and you can ride that shit to a World Series championship. This is the NBA, man, and you've got to beat your squad 4 times in a 2-week span out of 7 games. And there's something to be said about experience, because you don't know, because y'all haven't been pressed yet. You've been whooping ass and taking names the first two series, and it looks like it's going to continue this series. You've not been tested yet. And that's the thing, man. Who's going to crack? Who's going to fold? Who's going to show up when the chip gets down and it's time to put your nuts on the table? I'm just saying.
I understand. I gave my last thoughts, but let me add a little Let me add a little P.S. post-sentence here. Nothing trumps hunger. Warriors have been there before. The deer may be carnivores, or they may be the deer as an animal, the buck may be an herbivore. But these bucks, these young bucks, this Greek freak and the rest of his bench mob, they're carnivores and they're hungry. Hungry. The hungriness of players on the up, coming up, ready to take over, will dominate. Much like Jordan did over the Pistons. Why is that a bad example?
Giannis because it took him three times to finally vanquish the Pistons. That's why it's a bad example, sir. It took the Pistons three times to finally vanquish the Celtics. That's why it's a bad example, sir. You're actually proving my point.
It took the Bucks a couple times to vanquish the Celtics. And now they're getting through. They're getting through in their playoffs. They're the better team this year, and that's going to prove when it's all said and done in the middle of June.
I hope you're right, man. I'm not going to lie. I think that would be great for Milwaukee. Obviously, we're friends, so I would love, it'd be nice to see you get a championship, man. You were there to help me celebrate. No, you weren't there to help me celebrate my Cleveland win, but you understand. You get it. But, yeah, so it'd be good for you guys, but it's just hard for me to believe that a team coming basically out of nowhere is going to win the title. Like, there's processes. There's levels to this shit when it comes to the NBA, man. You got to have a little heartache in there, man, to help catapult you to the next level. LeBron didn't even win it his first time he got there.
The Magic
two times he got there, he didn't win it.
The Magic is Mike Budenholzer. Him and Giannis, that's the Magic. Those two together. Giannis finally has a coach that knows how to put him in the right positions to succeed and exploit his strengths.
And maybe you're right, man. And we're being a little presumptuous anyway, man, because we could convene next week, to record Pot is War and everything could be flipped on its head. You know what I mean? But as of right now, it's looking like it's lining up to be the Bucks and the Warriors. It's going to be it's the best possible series. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. Point blank, period. My women have returned. They've come bearing gifts, including a three paper storage bins and prison gray bar stools. So I got to go see what's going on with that. So why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you, sir?
You can find me at PC Tunney. You can also check out the DWI podcast at Podcast DWI. And make sure you head over to thechairshot.com for them Chairshot staff picks tomorrow morning. The first thing you do when you get up, I don't even care if it's what you're looking at on your phone while you're on the shitter.
I mean, there's paper storage bins, there's bar stools, there's paper, there's towels and rags and washcloths. I've completely lost control of this entire situation. It's pandemonium over here, man. Dogs and cats living together. We're slapping babies out of strollers. We're ripping tags off of mattresses. It's anarchy over here.
Yeah. Yeah, we're slapping hands. We're kissing hands and slapping babies over here. What are you going to do?
We are, man. Hey, man, you guys can find me. Go
ahead. Don't think you ain't got work to do now once we get done with this podcast.
apparently, there is going to be some things I'm going to have to do because I just saw a contraption. I don't know what the hell it does, but I'm probably going to be responsible for putting it up.
I'm sorry, Karima, can you speak into the microphone?
Anywho. You all can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlat, but more importantly, make sure you stake your stinking asses to ProWrestlingTees.com/chairshot. Pick up your official Chairshot merchandise. If you enjoy the content we provide and everything that we do, not just the great podcast and personalities of the Chairshot, but also the news, reviews, and analysis with attitude, because we understand that you're smarter than the average fan, and show your intelligence by showing your boys some love so we can keep doing what we do, what you love that we do. And again, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you, and please. My house has been inundated with women. I think it's about time for the ball sacrificing ceremony, so I'm going to get to that. Next time I come across these airwaves, my octaves will be like 35 degrees higher. I'm going to go from a baritone to a soprano in about 15 minutes.
Welcome back to Pot is War. I'm Christopher Platt. I'm your MVP, Mr. Velvet Pipes.
Greetings and salutations. I'm Christopher Platt. Welcome back to Pot is War.
Huh? Welcome to Disney. I'm Christopher Platt.
Hey, man, for the commish PC Tutty, man. Shout out to Andrew Snowflake Blast. I wish you a speedy recovery and your electric. electrolysis operation. I hope you got all that hair off your legs. You come back smooth as a baby calf, brother. All right. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. Enjoy Game of Thrones. Enjoy NBA basketball. Enjoy Money in the Bank. We'll see you guys next week. Until then, shalom. Hit it, Carly.
Hey, boys and girls.